You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
The calling of the church. That's what we studied in Ephesians 1 through 3, and today in chapter 4, Dr. J. Vernon McGee says that we'll study the conduct of the church. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so grateful that you're with us for our continuing journey through God's entire Word. Now, in just a few moments, we'll hear some very practical teaching for us, including seven characteristics of one who is worthy to walk as a believer of Jesus Christ. Do you have all those? Well, we'll find out. So as you find your seat on the Bible bus, let's catch up with our world prayer team. Greg Harris, our president, is here to share where we're going this week.
Yeah, the world prayer team, which if you're not a member, is a group of thousands of people that have said, I'll take a minute or two to pray for a different country every day of the week all around the year. And we go all the way around the world in a year. So
yeah, and you'll hear great testimonies of how God is moving in people's lives, and it will invigorate your prayer life.
It will. And you heard that from Steve Schwetz, a charter member of the World Prayer Team. Now, this week, we are traveling through Eastern Africa. We're going to be in countries like Malawi, Burundi, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and today, and we're going to be talking today about the country of Somalia. Now, you may need to pull out Google Maps and find out where that is. It's in the northeastern quadrant of the African continent, and it's a pretty tough place to be a Christian, isn't it?
It certainly is. Islam plays a major part in that part of the world, and there's primarily Sunni Muslim in Somalia, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
But very fundamental, those of you that know anything about Islam and Sharia law and the brutality towards women, towards other religions, Christianity falling into that category, causes what Christian believers are there in Somalia to really be low-key house churches that are very quiet, but God.
Yeah, there are about 4,000 believers that worship in house churches just to stay under the radar and to try to avoid the persecution. But that persecution, as we've seen all over the world, often heightens the boldness of the believers. And and we actually get some wonderful responses from our Somali broadcasts.
Yeah, one of the things, and I'm not a real fan, full disclosure myself, on social media, but social media does have an effective role around the world in these difficult situations. And this is an example. Here's a testimony from our Somali team. We see new names reacting in positive to our social media programs. This encourages as we see Somalia youth learning the Bible. It is our hope in the future they can preach and share the gospel with them on social media. We hope to pray and see them enhancing their biblical literacy that can help them in their walk with God.
Yeah, and that's powerful. And I know, Steve, sometimes when we read them, the grammar isn't exactly what we're used to. But that actually highlights the authenticity that we're dealing with people that English is not their first language. But boy, their heart is right there with us. And that's exciting. Now, we also do get some direct responses. And here's one I just love. I am a Muslim. I love the letters that begin that way.
Absolutely.
And some portions of the Bible are hard to understand by those who are not familiar with the Word of God. I appreciate your teaching, which explains it well.
Hmm.
Boy, do you think that person is going to end up being a believer in Jesus?
Yeah, absolutely. And also the need, Greg, you and I were talking about this at lunch, in particularly in Islamic countries, the need to have follow-up. And it's not just follow-up, you know, to get them plugged into a local church or get them material, but it's answering their questions.
Yes,
Muslims have such interesting questions, especially around the world, and for our partners to be addressing that is an important thing. And Greg, we're out of time.
I know.
So why don't you go ahead and pray for us and we'll begin.
Father, thank you that you let us bring the Word of God into all different places, some hard, some very receptive. We pray that your name would be glorified as we bring your Word to the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now let's head together into Ephesians 4 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we have come today to a new section in the Epistle to the Ephesians, the conduct of the church. The first three chapters, we saw the calling of the church, the vocation, the vocalization of the church. Now we have here the vocation of the believer, the heavenly calling, and now the earthly walk of the believer. And not the worldly walk, but the earthly walk. walking here on this earth. And the church is seated yonder in the heavenlies in Christ. He is the head of the body. And he's seated at God's right hand. But the church is to walk down here in this world, as we shall see. Now the church here is called a new man. The church now has been made new, and it's a new man to walk. And now we come to the practical side of this. Now in this last section, we shall consider the conduct, the confession, and the conflict of the church. The church here is a new man, and the church will be a bride. And the church is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now we've been on the mountain peak of Transfiguration in the first section, and probably the highest spiritual point in the New Testament is in these last three chapters, and that's the reason we've spent so much time on the mount. But in this last division, now we descend to the plane of living, right down where the rubber meets the road. And now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, where we confront a demon-possessed world and a skeptical mob. Are we able to translate the truths of the mountaintop into shoe leather? Are we able to stand and walk through the world? Our Lord said that we are in the world, but not of the world. Now, it's been stated that Ephesians occupies the same position theologically as Joshua does in the Old Testament. And now we come to the position where this truth is manifest. Joshua, you remember, entered the land of promise. He led the children of Israel over the Jordan. That speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Brought them into the promised land. That's where you and I live today, or at least where we should be living today, in resurrection territory. And Joshua brought them into the land that God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and also to Moses. And it was his by right of promise. But he had to appropriate it by taking possession. And possession is the great word in Joshua. And now we've come to that word here. Before, the first three chapters, it's possession, possession, possession. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. God's made them over to us. But are we walking down here in possession of them? And the children of Israel promised the promised land. But to them it was a never, never land, because they had up to this point never entered it. Now they've entered it, and they're to enter it for their enjoyment and blessing, blessing to others. Although enemies and other obstacles stood in the way, Joshua had to overcome and occupy. And he was told, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that's yours. Now, all of it's yours. But you're not going to enjoy only that which you lay hold of. The believer is privileged today now to move in and occupy the all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, the unsearchable riches in Christ. But they must be searched out with the spiritual Geiger counter, which is the Word of God. Now, we have seen glorious declarations. Henceforth, there will be commands for those who have been called to such an exalted place, a way of life is demanded, which is commensurate with the calling. So many people today dwell on the first part of Ephesians. They become rather super-duper saints, very spiritual. I remember when I first came to Southern California, there was a family in the church. That is, they attended. They were not members. And in fact, rather active and very lovely people. And I asked them one day, the man and his wife, why they didn't join. And they looked up toward the ceiling and said, we're members of the invisible church, and fluttered their eyelids. Well, I looked up toward the ceiling. I didn't see that invisible church. And, of course, the reason I didn't see it was invisible. Now, I found out that a lot of these folk who are members of the invisible church, they're really invisible. They're invisible on Sunday night, and they're invisible on Wednesday night. In fact, they're invisible when you need somebody, by the way. But the invisible church is to make itself visible down here in the local assembly, and the individuals down here are to walk that way. Now we've come to the practical side. the earthly conduct of the church, the vocation. Now, in this chapter, the church is a new man. And we have in the first six verses the exhibition of the new man. And then verses 7 through 16, the inhibition of the new man. And then verses 17 to 32, the prohibition of the new man. Now, the new man is to exhibit himself down here. The members of the invisible church are to make themselves visible. They are to exhibit themselves. They are to be extroverts, if you please, and get the word of God out something. Now, we want to say that what follows here is restricted to those that are in Christ. The ones we're talking to now, at least that Paul's talking to in this epistle, and that the Spirit of God is talking, are saved people. Now, if you're listening to this today and you're not a Christian, and there are quite a few folk that are not Christians, they've written to us, they say they listen. What God is saying here, he's not asking you to do until you become a child of his through faith in Christ, become a member of his body. Now, this is for those in whom we have redemption and they've heard the word of truth. Now, a dead man cannot be urged to walk, no matter how much insistence is made or how important it may be, because Paul is going to start off by saying, therefore, I beg you, the prisoner of the Lord, that ye walk worthy of the calling with which ye are called. Now, here is the thought. He said that we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the condition of the laws. You just don't go out to the cemetery. You don't send the top sergeant out there for him to say, attention, you know, give a command, and then forward, march. I want you to understand something very clearly. If you say that, there won't be any marching. Oh, there won't be any marching, friends. Nobody's going to move. They got to have life first. So he's not talking here to unsaved people. And I must say, oh, we're delighted to have you if you're not a Christian, but I want you to stay on the sidelines and listen, because this will tell you what God would ask of you if you're going to become a believer. And then when you look around you, you'll know whether the saints that you know are living as God wants them to live. This, by the way, is a very nice program to have in your hand to see whether the saints are. Now we have here that these instructions are given to the new man, not to the man dead in trespasses and sin. The world is saying today, and the religions are saying, do something and you'll be somebody. God says, be somebody, and then you can do something. Now we have it. Verse 1, therefore, I exhort you, I beg you, I, the prisoner of the Lord, that you walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. Now, therefore is a connective. It is a transitional word, and it's in view of all that God has done for the believer that's been stated in these last three chapters. Now, in view of that, therefore, and Paul is a prisoner because of his position in Christ. The man seated in the heavens is also seated in prison. And he's there because he was a witness to the Gentiles. And he's telling them that, now, I'm a prisoner. I beseech you, a prisoner in the Lord. And beggar beseeches the same word that you have in Romans 12:1. This is not the command of Sinai with fire and thunder. It's the gentle wooing of love. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the high calling. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now here, it's to walk worthily of the calling. Now it's a call to walk on a plane that's commensurate with your position that's in Christ. Paul said to the Philippians in 1:27, only let your conversation, that is, your manner of life, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. So ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. He says in Colossians, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:10, your witnesses and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Now he says, I beseech you to walk worthy. of the gospel. Now, friends, people may not be telling you, but they're smelling you today. They are sniffing you to see whether you're genuine or not, whether you're a real child of God through faith in Christ. And the only way they can tell is by your walk. How do you walk through the world? And by the way, it's not so much how you walk as where you walk. You remember, John says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with him. That's to walk in the light of the Word of God. How much time do you really spend in the Word of God? Don't you know that your children know how much time you spend in the Bible? Don't you know your neighbors know? Don't you know that the people in the church know how much time? And then we talk about fellowship with God. We have to walk in the light. And what about the man outside? I heard this story years ago. It was over in Memphis, Tennessee, that there was a man, one of these men who gives out tracts, and it's fine to give out tracts. I think it's a ministry that requires a lot of prayer, and it ought to be done with a great deal of intelligence. And this man was handing out tracts, and he handed one to a man. The man said to him, "What is this?" The man says, "It's a tract." The man handed it back to him. He says, "I can't read." He said, "You say it's a tract? Well," he says, "I can't read it, but I can watch your tracks, and I'll see what kind of tracks you make." May I say to you, that was the greatest sermon that Christian ever had preached to him. Somebody's watching his tracks, not reading the tracks he's giving out. That's the thing that's important. Now, Paul says, on the basis of the fact I'm a prisoner, I'm in prison for you Gentiles, I beseech you now, not a command, but I beseech you. Now he says here that with all lowliness, now he's going to tell us how to walk. We're to walk with all lowliness, and he mentions here about seven different things. I'm going to take them up. With all lowliness. Now that means a mind brought low. You know, Paul practiced what he preached. It's the opposite of pride. And you'll find that in the life of the Apostle Paul, he always exhibited a lowly mind. Oh, today, if our seminaries would get off of this binge of trying to make intellectual preachers and teach some of them to walk in lowliness of mind. And so many of them need to walk in lowliness of mind. I remember hearing the story years ago of the young preacher. He was a brilliant young fella in Scotland in a seminary. And he's so brilliant that when a very fashionable church in Edinburgh wanted a supply, why, the seminary sent this fine young man. Well, I tell you, he was filled with pride because of the fact he was called to minister in this great church. And so he went there. Now, he'd never had any experience. He was brilliant sitting in class or in his study. But when he got up before that group of people, there was something he'd never known about before, and that's stage fright. And he forgot everything he ever knew. He memorized his sermon, but he forgot it. He forgot everything. And he just stumbled through. And a dear little Scotch lady there watched him as he came down. And he just really made a failure. And she went up to him, and she said, "Young man," said, "I was watching you this morning." And she said, "I'd like to say to you, if you had gone up in that pulpit like you came down out of that pulpit, then you would have come down out of that pulpit like you went up in that pulpit." He went up with pride. He came down, I tell you, with lowliness and meekness. This man here certainly came down. Now, it's the opposite of pride. That's what it is. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Paul said to the Philippians in 2:3, "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." I think this is the flagship of all Christian virtues. It characterized our Lord. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart." Oh, the number of Christians today that are actually, they have a pride of race. They have a pride of place. They have a pride of face. And they actually have a pride of grace. They're proud, they're saved by grace even. Oh, we need to walk in lowliness of mind. And there's something else to be said about that business of lowliness. All this business today of exalting ourselves, that's what Satan did. That awful thing. It's stories told about a group of people that went in to see Beethoven's home in Germany. And a guide was taking them through, and they came to the piano where he composed his music. And then after he finished his lecture, he said, if any of you'd like to come up and sit at the piano for a moment and just maybe hit a key or two. And so there was a mighty rush. Everyone tried to get up at first, and everyone trying to, except a gray-haired gentleman with long flowing gray hair. And the guide finally, after they'd all been there, said to him, wouldn't you like to come up and sit down and try playing? Oh, he said, no, he said, I don't feel worthy. That man was Paderewski, by the way. Probably the only man there who was worthy to play the piano. Beethoven is the one man that wouldn't play it. Oh, how many saints today rush in and do things, even in the church, have no gift for doing, but they do it. Nevertheless, we say we have difficulty finding people to do things. There's another trouble, too. That's the extreme of folk doing things they ought not to be doing. We need to walk in lowliness of mind. Now, meekness means mildness, but it doesn't mean weakness. It doesn't mean that you're Mr. Milquetoast. The two men that are noted for being meek in the Old Testament was Moses, in the New Testament was the Lord Jesus. When you see Moses come down from the mount, break the Ten Commandments, and I tell you, when you see what he said to his brother Aaron and to the children of Israel, you call that meekness? God does. And was the Lord Jesus meek when he went in, drove the money changers out of the temple? He certainly was. Well, the world doesn't call that meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is willing to stand and do the will of God regardless of the cost. Bowing yourself to the will of God. That's meekness. And long-suffering means a long temper. This is a fruit of the Spirit. When we were in 1 Corinthians, I talked about that. Long-suffering means burning slowly over a long period of time. It means we shouldn't have a short fuse. And some of us, I'm afraid, do. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And then the fourth thing here, for bearing one another in love. It means to hold oneself back in the spirit of love. For bearing one another, forgiving one another. And then the fifth that's mentioned here, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, the Lord Jesus prayed that we might be one, and the Spirit of God today has baptized us into one body. Now, we're to maintain that. We're to maintain that unity. We're not to make it. God never said for us to join the ecumenical movement. Because to begin with, you can't make a unity that only the Holy Spirit can make. We're to keep it. And that's the reason that you and I should be with all believers. That is, you and I should feel that we're all one body. We belong to one body. Now we have mentioned here seven unities that we are to keep. Will you notice them? He says, ye are one body. And there is one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all, through all, and in all. Now, one body is the body of believers. It began on the day of Pentecost to the parousia, to the rapture. One Spirit is the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into the body. One hope of your calling, that one hope is the blessed hope. We have no other hope. One Lord refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, his lordship over believers. The fifth is one faith. That refers to the body of truth, called the Apostles' Doctrine in Acts 2:42. And the sixth, one baptism, refers to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, real baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ritual baptism is by water. Then seven, one God and Father of all. That refers to God's fatherhood of believers. Since there's only one Father, he's not the father of unbelievers. The unity of believers produces a sharp distinction between believers and non-believers. He's the Father of all who are his by regeneration. He's over all, through all, and in all. Means that God is both immanent and he's transcendent. This is a marvelous section of the Word of God, as you can see. We'll have to leave off right there today. May God richly bless you.
Have you ever considered your role in the local church? Well, next time, we'll learn about the gifts that God gives each of us when we're saved and then how they bless the body of Christ. Until then, to be in touch, you can visit us at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE or find us on social media. Go with God today and in the power of His Spirit.
Jesus made it whole.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him?
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Praise the Lord. I am Minister Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God of Melbourne, Florida. I pray all of you are blessed today because this is the day the Lord has made and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our service times on Sunday are 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land, wherever you are. Thank God this morning that you woke up, that he allowed you to see this wonderful day, because truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we should all rejoice and be glad in it and enjoy the new mercies from day to day that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has blessed us with. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there, even those out there that don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask God Almighty to touch their hearts, change their lives through their receiving him as Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you once again in the precious name of Jesus. Touch that man right now. Touch that woman right now. Don't turn the radio off. Oh, God, allow that radio stay on so that each person, Lord, that have tuned into the broadcast will be blessed, that will hear your word and give you all the praise. I ask your blessing to be upon them right now, that their hearts be receptive and that their mind be stable, that they will receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God is a good God. He loves us. He loves us all. Praise God. And I want to speak today, Jesus is the answer. That's Hallelujah. The subject that I want to talk about. Jesus is the answer. No matter what is going on in your life today, Jesus is the answer. If you are suffering from sickness, Jesus is the answer. The Word of God tells us that he is the answer for all mankind problems.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what it is, he is the answer. And when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as being the answer for everything, then we can receive the healing and the blessings and everything that he has appropriated for us on the cross of Calvary. Glory to his wonderful name. Minister Gloria, in Psalms 107 and verse 20, the Word of God tells us that he sent his word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. If we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and stay focused in terms of what he has done, not just know about him, but have the relationship with him, then we can walk in the benefits and the blessings that he has bestowed upon his body, and not only have those that are in the body of Christ, but the ones that do not know him, they can come to him and give their hearts to him, and their lives will be changed. They will be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. So if you are suffering from sickness out there in Radio Land, it doesn't matter what it is, Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
He is the one that we lift up and give all of the adorations and the praises, because he is the answer for all life's problems.
Yes.
When we trust him and believe what he has said in his word, we can walk in those benefits. We can receive everything that he has done. There's another verse of scripture, Minister Gloria, that...
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to read it, please?
Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yes.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Jesus is the answer. He is the one that took everything and nailed it to his cross. He blotted out the handwritings and the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us by taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He took all sickness and disease. There's nothing that's out here today in this natural world that he has not died for. So Jesus Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, He is the answer for all of life's problems. Doesn't matter what it is. Some folks may be contemplating on divorce, but I want to tell you, when you humble yourself unto the Lord Jesus Christ, give your heart to Him, He'll change your mind. I said He'll change your mind if you humble yourself unto Him. The Bible tells us that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hands of God, and that He will exalt us in due time. Jesus will take care of it. Jesus is the answer. If you don't have any finances, I said Jesus is the answer. He will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Himself.
Christ Jesus.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
He is the one that answers all good things. He's good.
Yes, He is.
I said He's good. Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. And if you're healing, you need healing in your body, Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
Many people begin to start trusting other things in terms of looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in 1 Peter, you want to read that?
Right. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who Himself bare our sins and His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, of whose stripes you were healed."
If we were healed, then we are healed. And the most important thing is not just healing for members of the body of Christ. I want to tell you something. I know folks that love the Lord, that born again, that went in, that were hospitalized, and they didn't come out. So I know people that weren't saved or born again, quote unquote, they went in and they came out. So what I'm saying is that He is the healer for us all.
Amen.
No man can heal you. Jesus is the healer. And if He sees fit to allow you to come out, that's a blessing. And if you don't come out, it's still a blessing. Because what happened is that you now will be healed supernaturally, mm-hmm. spiritually, where there's no more problems. Most of us look for the healing in the flesh, which is a wonderful thing. But I want to tell you that you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the healer and He is the deliverer. Whatever it may be, Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
He is the answer for all of our problems. Doesn't matter what they may be. If you don't have finances, the Word of God tells us that He'll supply your need. And He has a big supply house with everything in it that will meet every need that you have financially. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful,
man? It is wonderful.
He is the answer.
Yes.
Why is it so difficult for us to understand that Jesus is the answer? We put our trust in Him. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. And if you don't know your way, if you're having problems psychologically, if you're having problems spiritually, you're being troubled by things that's going on in your life, I want to tell you today, the Word of God is clear. Jesus is the answer. How many of us out there in Radio Land trust the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, well, I know that these things are going on, and I'm trying to do them myself. I'm trying to help myself." Well, there's nothing wrong with trying to help yourself, but your faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
He is the answer to all of life's problems.
Yes.
Minister Glory, you remember when we were looking at this particular situation there, and we were trying to solve it ourselves, but listen, you can't do it.
No.
If you can do it, then you don't need the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens? We had to turn it over to Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen. Turn it over to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And He is the answer for all of our problems.
Well, that's why the Word of God says, "Casting all our cares upon Him, for He cared for you."
Truly, surely.
That's right.
He cares for us.
That's right.
Amen. I said he cares for us. Your family members may have a certain amount of concern about who you are and what you're doing, but I want to tell you there's one that sticketh closer to us than a brother.
That's right.
Like a brother, than a brother. And what happened is that he is the answer. He is the answer for all of our problems.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I said every problem we have. And if you're not saved, you're not saved. God has not left you out.
No.
He's still the answer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just the answer for Christians. He's the answer for all life's problems.
Amen.
And if you're not born again, that's a problem.
Mm.
And he's the answer for that. Praise God. You remember reading there in 1 John 2? In verse 2 there, where it tells us that he is, it's a present reality, that he is the propitiation. See, Jesus is the answer for everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we are short of, Jesus is the answer for it. Would you like to read that so that people out there in Radio Land can understand that it's not just for Christians or people that are born again. Jesus loves everybody.
Everybody.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Everybody. You want to read
First
that?
1 John 2:2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen. So if he's the answer for the sins of the whole world, doesn't matter who you are and what you're going through, he is the answer. And right now, if you just think of your position that you are a sinner, you know who you are, and no one needs to beat you over the head to tell you that you are not serving the Lord, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You know yourself because the Spirit of the living God has spoken to you time after time, because he came into this world to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, he is the answer. Believe me out there in Radio Land, Jesus is the answer. And if you want to come to him, praise God. The scripture tells you, you said, Minister Glory, that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Praise
so,
God.
Listen, he died for everybody.
Yes.
Praise God. He is the answer. Everybody needs Jesus.
Everybody
he
needs Jesus.
He is the answer, praise God, for all of life's problems.
Amen.
Whether they're spiritually, psychologically, physically, domestically, whatever problem you may have, Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
He is the answer for all problems. All of our problems. Doesn't matter what they may be. Jesus is the answer. Put your trust in him. Praise God. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put your trust in the things of this world. This world is going to pass away. Listen, but what's going to stand forever is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer. Minister Glory, and he said in John 14 and verse 6, he says that he's the way.
Yes, he did.
There's no other way. There's no other way that you can get to God except through Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So he is
the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus is the answer to all problems. Praise God. He is the answer.
Yes.
And this is why we put our faith and trust and hope in him. Because there's none other. I said there's none other. He is our salvation. Praise God. He is your salvation. If you believe and trust in him and receive him into your heart, because the scripture tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for sickness. He's the answer for finances. He's the answer for mental, for your mind to be straight.
Yep.
He's a mind regulator. Praise God. Jesus is the answer. And he's done it all there on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing when our faith and our hope is in Him. And if you have peace, you cannot sleep at night.
Right.
You don't have peace of mind in terms of the things that you need to do, or perhaps when you lie down to get your rest. If you don't have peace, I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus is the answer. Mm-hmm. Minister Glory, would you read Romans 5 and verse 1? Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Romans 5 and verse 1.
Mm-hmm. It reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Being justified by faith. This is folks that have been declared righteous and found not guilty. Those that have received Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, that we have peace with God.
Amen.
To our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful?
It is. And you know, in
Jesus is the answer.
John 14 and 27, Jesus left a word with his disciples, and it's for us as well.
Yes.
Says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Jesus is our peace.
That's right.
He's everybody's peace.
Amen.
That will receive him. Praise God. That is why he didn't come into this world to condemn us or anything. The word of God tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
No matter how you look at it, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Don't look to man. Man is not the answer. Man, most of the time, is the problem. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for all of life's problems. I'm not saying you're not to trust man to a certain extent, but Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
After you've done it all, when you go to man and you try to get whatever it is that you desire of him,
yes,
then finally he say, well, I've done all that I can do.
Amen.
I'm not God.
Glory to God.
Well, let me tell you, go to God and let God direct you to man. But Jesus is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, glory to God. Amen. He is the answer. And that's why Apostle Paul was so strong spiritually telling us and giving us an understanding that we, the ones that have been born again, sets the example. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And what is happening is that people will see us, that we know who the answer is. You know, when you come to a situation and a lot of folks are scratching their head and trying to figure out, well, what is going on? Well, Jesus is the answer. Put your trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Put your faith in Jesus.
Amen.
He is the only one. I cannot say this enough, because Jesus Christ is the answer for all of life's problems. Doesn't matter what it is. He is the answer.
That's right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we don't understand a lot of things, but you know the word of God says, trust in God. Do not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Praise God. Praise God. It's a lot of times we find it kind of difficult to look to the Lord Jesus Christ first. But the scripture tells us in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
That's right.
Trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Put your trust in him. Put your faith in him. He is the answer.
Amen.
He'll direct your path. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Amen.
I said paths.
Paths.
Not just one path, but paths.
Amen.
However he will lead you, that's the path you are to follow. But Jesus is the answer. Glory to God. Isn't Amen. That wonderful? Amen. He is the answer. You know, Mr. Glory, if we, if each one of us, mm-hmm. at any time in our lives, if we look at situation and get out of the way instead of trying to, mm-hmm. to solve it ourselves, because most of the time we get in the way of the Holy Spirit where he cannot do what he wants to do because we're in the way. We're trying to get the glory.
Exactly.
But mm-hmm. get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
And look to Jesus.
Look to Jesus.
He is
the author and finisher of our faith.
Praise God. He is the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame,
mm-hmm.
and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
You see, Jesus is the answer. He's the finisher.
Yes.
He started it, mm-hmm. and he will finish whatever he's done. So when our faith is in him, mm-hmm. looking to him, for the answers that we all need as children of God and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the answer for them, because everybody deserves Jesus.
Yes.
I said everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. I shouldn't say deserve. Everybody needs
Jesus. Praise God.
It's good. Everybody needs Jesus.
That's right.
We need him sitting behind this microphone
That's
here.
That's right. Amen.
In the radio station. We need Jesus.
Amen.
More and more each day.
Amen.
Our faith has to be in him and only him in order to receive the benefits that he has appropriated for us on Calvary's cross. Can you imagine for a moment, Minister Gordon, he endured the cross.
He endured the cross.
He put up with everything that was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he broke the power of sin there for us. He broke, and that way we are not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he die for our sins, but listen, he broke that power. So that we don't have to feel guilty. Jesus is the answer.
Praise God.
Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
You're sick. You need finances. Your mental, your mind is disturbed. Whatever the problem may be, forces are trying to come up against you. You cannot handle them.
Yep.
Jesus is the answer.
That's right.
Put your trust in Jesus and only Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus is the one. He's the one that satisfied everything that the Father gave him to do. Praise God. Hallelujah.
You know,
that's why.
After you receive Jesus Christ, your mind has to be renewed. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now you can't think of the things of the world. Now you got to think of the things of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to be in the will of God.
Yes.
Once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ,
thank you, Jesus.
And believe by faith in what he has done on the cross of Calvary, now we want to be in his will.
Amen.
And his will is the word of God.
Yes, it is. And this is the confidence we have in him, that his word is true, his word is powerful. But we give thanks unto the Father.
Amen.
For sending forth his son Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. Remember, John 3 and 16 and mm-hmm. 17,
mm-hmm.
it says here that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
mm-hmm.
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish.
Yes.
But have everlasting life.
Amen.
That God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus,
might be saved.
Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Glory to God. I mm-hmm. said Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
The congressman is not the answer. The president is not the answer. The governors is not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
A man is not the answer. The only one is the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we give thanks unto the Father, which has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Amen.
And translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus, in whom we have redemption through him, that is Jesus,
Amen.
And the forgiveness of sins.
Praise God.
Oh, Jesus is the answer.
Praise God.
Well, I want to extend an invitation out there to everyone, because there's a lot of religious spirits out there, but they're religious, but they're still lost. Because they don't know who died for them. They don't know who took their place on Calvary's cross. But I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one. So listen to me right now. Take notice of who Jesus is, and that he is the answer for all of your problems. Minister Gloria, I'm going to ask you to just say a couple words to those that are out in Radio Land that have tuned into the broadcast in terms of salvation. We want to close the broadcast without telling you that Jesus is the answer, and he's right there, right where you are.
Remember, faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Yes.
So now receive this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith. It's all about Jesus and what he has done on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name.
Look to him.
Look to him.
He is the only one. And as I said before, remember these words. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the answer for all life's problems. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.